yo creo que quedaron muy feitas.
Not
there's so very well, ain't it? But you can't rest, can you?
Well, not much rest at Christmas, but it's lovely.
You're a real home birds, ain't you?
Oh yes, we are. We don't go far.
Rich, my friends.
Rich, but bonuses.
I was thinking just then when you said we don't go far. Of course I knew in what sense you applied that remark, but it's a remark that could be well applied to a vast majority of individuals, a vast majority of people on your side of life. Don't go far. It could even be applied to those who should indeed be going very far. And by that I mean the spiritualists themselves. One would have thought with the knowledge and the truth, the realization that must come with this knowledge, that spiritualists as such would go very far on the road of spiritual awareness, consciousness, progress. But sadly, it seems there are very few indeed that make progress. And of course, it is invariably their own fault from the point of view that they lack the incentive to pursue this truth on the higher level, which is so necessary if it is to be of real value. There are so many who are content with the mundane. There are so many who are quite happy to receive communication from some soul or other known to them. And of course, dear and quite naturally, we understand this. Evidence, personal evidence, is vital and important. Communication with people that you've known and still love, to be assured that they do continue in this world of ours. The comfort and the help that is given, all this is important. And unfortunately, though, the vast majority of people, this is sufficient. Whereas really it is the beginning. One should remember and realize that the vital work that can be done and should be done by spiritualists cannot be accomplished or achieved just by remaining, as it were, on that level of communication. Those who are near and dear to you, though they have obviously progressed, are not necessarily by any means the best communicators from the point of view of spiritual knowledge and experience. They have been here too short a time to have gathered a great deal of information, a great deal of knowledge, a great deal of progression. And therefore it is important to remember that if one is to do truly the work of the Spirit in the highest sense, one should always strive to contact those who have progressed far beyond the material condition of life, and those who are not prepared just to talk the trivialities, which, though important and evidential when coming from near and dear ones, cannot, by its very nature, be necessarily spiritually informative. There are so few in your world who are prepared to pursue this truth in the sense whereby so doing they will themselves progress and reach up to a much higher level of consciousness. And the purpose and the reasons for our coming to you particularly with the realization that you will and do propagate this as best you can by sending here and there these tapes, as you term them, these records of our communication. We know that in this fashion we can reach many a person who is genuinely and sincerely longing and desiring to know truth. The purposes, of course, of our work are well known to some, but there are so few who really appreciate or understand this. And we are hoping in this coming year, which lies ahead, so full of promise and opportunity, that we shall be truly able to go forth in a wider field, in a greater sense, not only in the subject matter which we shall hope to discuss and the questions that we shall ever be ready to answer when they are put to us, but with the knowledge that you will yourselves, by the effort that is made, make contact with individuals in many parts of your world who they in turn will, by the knowledge they receive, attempt to attract others in your world to this truth. The tapes that we are able to make together shall no doubt travel to the far corners of the earth, and many people shall gather to listen to them, and many shall be informed, and many shall be impressed and inspired to join with you in this work. It is our hope that in this year we shall truly form a brotherhood of souls in your world who shall act, as it were, as instruments, who shall in themselves be guided as to where and to what they shall do. We understand, of course, the difficulties, but they can and they will and they shall be overcome. I know that it is natural for your times to be a little apprehensive, but this is human and natural, and you will be guided, you will be shown the way, and you will see truly how the power of the Spirit works. And that what I feel would be of general interest to many, we shall discuss these things, because we want to reach as many people as possible and answer the kind of questions which come to the forefront so often. These questions which are put from so many different individuals in different quarters of the world. We want to be informative on the things which, when clarified as best we can clarify them, will open the minds and the hearts of individuals in your world, that they too shall be able to serve more fully. Of course there are complexities, of course there are problems which are not easily answered and solved, but we shall, with patience, with love, and if we persevere as a group, bound together in true understanding and brotherhood for the common good, we shall build such a strength and such a power that I can truthfully say that it shall by its very nature open up vistas for many peoples, give to them a greater incentive and a greater realization of the power of the Holy Spirit. It is this power of love, this power which in itself is so dynamic and so tremendous. It is this vital force, this life-giving force, which will make possible for many people a greater insight, not only into this truth, but also into the truth and the reality of themselves. I find there are so many people in your world, even those who understand to some extent this truth, a great difficulty with many to fully understand the potential force and power of life within themselves. There are so many who say, oh yes, I'm sure there is this power, but I find it extremely difficult myself to bring it forth from within myself. In other words, there are many in your world who are anxious to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit from within, and yet seem so at a loss, so powerless, and sometimes they often say that they are so useless. If only I could instill in their minds that power which every individual possesses, because it is a life-giving force. Without it there could be no existence. Only man could realize that within himself is this tremendous power which can and will overcome all obstacles, which when properly understood and used and applied can clarify the most difficult of problems, can open up a greater realization of God's will and purpose for each individual, for every soul. Though he does not fully understand or realize it, he is a potential instrument. Tragedy is that man, for centuries, has looked upon the physical body and the physical life and the physical material abilities as the most important, and indeed the only thing that matters. Man could cultivate his spiritual faculties, his spiritual awareness, his spiritual possibility to the extent that he has developed his material. How changed, how different the world would be in consequence. How great would be the power of love, the power of goodness that could be generated throughout the whole world. How many barriers would be broken down? How many peoples would have a greater understanding, greater realization of the purpose of their individual lives? How they would eventually outlaw all the evils of your world? So much that happens in your world is due to man not bringing forth from within himself that spiritual faculty and awareness of the things which are, by their very nature, perfect. The very nature of these things is such that when used, when applied, can create such a power, generated power, that it could gradually diminish and eventually outlaw completely much of the illness of the world, whether it were illness of the mind or of the body. So often we hear people say, if there is a God, why does he permit this? And yet it is possible, and indeed it is not only possible, but it is feasible to realize that all that transpires in your world, whether it is good or bad, can be traced to the human element, to the human being. For centuries man has thought wrong thoughts, and he has created in consequence wrong conditions. And over centuries of time, he has brought into being varying illnesses, all manner of troubles, major wars, and all these things which man has created. He rails against, and yet he cannot see that by his very nature, by his very lack of wisdom, by his very lack of the things of the Spirit, he has, by his very material aspect of thought and determination, brought these things into fruition, into being. There need be no serious illness. The body could be perfect. It could be organically sound. It could last indefinitely. I do not mean by that that man, and as a physical being, would live forever. What I mean is, there would be no need for many of the breakdowns that go on among human beings. There needn't be the sufferings that there are. These diseases, whether they be this or that, are what man himself, by wrong thinking and by centuries of wrong thinking and living, has brought upon himself. All illness, whether it is mental or physical, can be traced to man himself. You are born, and even those who are not born in perfection, by that I mean by those who are born imperfect physically, even this can be traced back to generations. It has been said that the sins of the fathers fall on the children, which to many sounds illogical, unreasonable, unjust, and so on. But when you analyze it and dissect it, realize what it truly means, it is logical. Because all the wrong thinking and all the wrong doing that enters into the consciousness and the condition of your world can be traced back two generations. A child is born into a family. A child itself gradually takes on, because it is imitative, takes on from the parents certain idiosyncrasies, certain ideas, certain theories. As it gets a little older, it learns from others outside the home, from teachers at schools and so on. It's given codes, or perhaps it isn't given any code at all, according to the circumstance. In other words, we're all the product of other people's thoughts and minds, particularly on the earth, as we realize, as we grow. So we are taught to fear, we are taught to hate, we are taught to dislike. Perhaps certain members of the family do not like another member of the family or some association outside the family, and is instilled in the child. You see, when you go back to the roots, you realize that all these things that man suffers from can be traced to man himself. People always say, God, why does God permit this? God does not interfere with man. God has given man free will to choose for himself. And man is the product of mind. Although so many people do not associate this in that sense, yet every individual, every child that is born, is a product of the minds, not only of its parents, but of innumerable peoples, innumerable thoughts, innumerable minds, sometimes tracing them back to centuries in time itself. Indeed, when man realizes too that there have been and have been, for the vast majority of people, many incarnations, there are many who do not like this theory of incarnation. The very thought of it appalls them. And indeed, to many, when they listen to discussions on this subject alone, they are by their very nature inclined to discard it without seriously thinking about it, not wanting to accept it. Indeed, how often we hear people say, one life is enough, I don't want any more. This is human, it is natural. But there again, all this springs from man within himself, through fearing. There would not be necessary the incarnations of which one is so feared, if man himself were to live truly to the mind and the spirit as it was intended. But incarnations are necessary and are essential, because it is important that man should gather from life all that life can offer, all that life can give. It is necessary, quite often indeed, to suffer. But if there were among men the desire for perfection, or at least an aspect to it, that perfection. If there were among men the desire to do that which was right, and to do that which is necessary to spiritual adjustment and advancement, while upon earth, in an early incarnation, there would be no necessity so often as it happens for man to return again and again. But then again, we must also remember that one life in itself, an earthly existence, is so short in time. Though it may seem long in the living, yet in time itself it is like a drop of water in the ocean, just has nothing in time itself. But it is important to remember that from earth we can assimilate so much, and it may well be that we must return, often, perhaps not only to undo some wrong and to set right, but also that we must return to teach, because it may well be that those who have progressed choose, as indeed they do, to return, to act in some capacity or other, so that they can be of service to a group or to a community. We must remember that the spirit is fluidic. By that I mean it is not something which has shape or form or is static. It is something which is without shape, without form, which flows. It is a power, it is a vitality which words in itself cannot describe. Words cannot describe the spirit. You can describe shape or form of material nature. You can say that a certain person looks in this fashion or that fashion. But the point is that throughout all life in your world, and indeed in this, is a dynamic force or power or spiritual, something which words cannot fully describe, because there are no words to describe this of which I speak. But it is this spark which is the vital part of man, that man considers himself as he sees himself in the mirror, or as he knows himself from experience of material things. Nothing is further from the truth. The physical body is vital and important, the shape and the form. The knowledge that you accumulate during a lifetime, that which you to some extent become, or are conscious or aware of as man. But this is by no means the complete picture. One indeed might say that this is the least important part. It is the part of man which in itself has to be, and yet at the same time cannot define or clarify or make possible the clear picture. When man realizes that he is spirit, as well as material, as well as body, shape and form which seem so vital and important to you are in themselves important only insofar that they give to you the opportunity of recognition, the opportunity under certain conditions of doing certain things which are for the time being necessary and important. But the power of the spirit, or the essence of the spirit, or the spirit, if you like, in itself, which has no form nor shape, this is the motivating part. And though you may, and you will have, in varying degree, under certain varying conditions, as you go through life over here, outward form and shape, and though it is important inasmuch that it is necessary so that you can, as it were, be housed, it is not the most important parts. One can never hope to explain the spirit, but one must remember that it is something which is dynamic, which is fluidic, which is really life itself. Without it, there could be no animation, there could be no shape, no form, there could be no intelligence, there could be no completeness. If you see life in your world, as I'm sure most people do, as an animated being, and then you realize that the animation comes from a source outside the material, and that it in itself only takes on or inhabits shape or form for a brief space of time under certain given conditions, and that when change takes place, called death, it enters into a spiritual, if you like, or etheric counterpart of the earth body. Whereas the earthly body with time grows old and infirm, and the mechanism begins perhaps to run down and gradually ceases altogether. But when you can remember and realize that the psychic or spiritual body, which is the counterpart, retains its vitality, retains its power, because of the dynamic force of spirit that inhabits it, which animates it, because the inanimate physical body no longer reacts to life. It does not mean to say that life doesn't exist, for life is existing all the time. It cannot be squashed, because it is life. Life is something which is dynamic and which is all the time activating. And it has to activate, when on earth, a material body. And there you have an individual activation of expression of the spirit through physical action, physical body, physical personality. But if you're going to grasp the importance of the fact that what is the vital part of man is the spirit, and that is the part of man which must be understood more than it is, and cultivated, and brought forth, and evolved and developed through physical organism and reaction, condition of body and so on, in a material sense. In other words, there is no reason why, given time and people of like mind realizing these truths, should not be able to so change your world that it truly would become a spiritual world. This, is, of course, is what all the great teachers and prophets of old discussed and talked about and preached about and hoped for. Indeed, it is what even today the vast majority of your religious bodies preach or desire through preaching and bringing to the peoples. But it is through ignorance, too, that they obscure it and make it more difficult and hard to understand. It is possible, as Christ and other great teachers have said, to bring about such a change from within oneself, in other words, the spiritual power of one's inner soul, can so change one's life, one's thinking, one's physical body indeed. Indeed, not only oneself, but untold numbers of other people, by this desiring to express the power of the spirit. We can overcome, you can overcome, all the obstacles, all the conditions of life which fret and mar the human being. We come that you shall know at least a little more about these things. We know that we have to take you slowly, very slowly on this path. We know that indeed it perhaps would not be too good for too much to be done too soon. It would be like a man who had been starving for a long time, being given too much food too quickly. It would do more harm than it would do good. So we have to go slowly, patiently, and we have to feed, as it were, just a little at a time. But if you can realize that the spiritual food that we hope to give to you, that it shall be digested and fully expressed in your cells, in your lives, it is useless unless it does you some good. You see, spiritual truth, spiritual realization, it's all very well providing you take it and you use it sensibly and wisely. But there are some who are not intelligent enough, perhaps, or are not perhaps yet ready to assimilate and to make good use of it. We have to be very careful. There are some people in your world who it would be perhaps dangerous to have too much too soon. We have to be impatient. We have to be fully aware of the complexity, even of the work that we do. With you it is different. With you, your minds are open. You've had sufficient knowledge and experience of this truth to know how far you can hope to go, or how much you should attempt to do, without, as it were, trying to do too much before you are ready. But there are many in your world who, in their anxiety and their desire to do things, could so easily, without perhaps fully realizing it, do more harm than good. We come to you week by week to make contact, to try to give you more knowledge and greater opportunity through that knowledge to do the work of the Spirit for which you have been called. And yet at the same time, we know that we must be patient. We must not overtax you. We must not expect that you can yet a while achieve or do many of the things we have in mind. But we know that you are aspiring, that you are desiring to do as much as is in your power. And indeed we shall help you in every sense that we can. But what I want most is that you should at all times realize that we shall give to you as much as it is possible to give under the prevailing conditions, and these conditions must and will of course fluctuate. There are varying degrees of condition and power, varying degrees and stratas of communication, and there are times when certain souls shall come and they shall give you of their knowledge and experience, and others also from a different condition shall give their impressions and thoughts and guidance as best they see fit. But we must work together in complete harmony. We must realize the power of the Spirit within each one of us. We must attempt at all times to evolve and develop that power so that it can manifest itself in many ways, that many people who see not these truths shall be at least curious as to know what it is that we have and they have not. They shall want to find for themselves. In other words, it is important that an example should be set, and it is not always easy to be an example. When you are on your side of life, it is not easy to walk the path of the Spirit and to set the example of the Spirit. And neither is it easy always to turn, as it were, the other cheek. It is not always easy to be kind, though one may desire to be so. There are times when you are sorely tempted and tried, and there are times when, of course, one must be found wanting, for you are still very much human, still subject to all the frets and the marring of the spirit that must come through material condition. But these things, such as they are, pass, change comes, and new thought, new idea, new power is given, greater opportunities presented, and service can be done. But we do not expect, and we've never expected, that it would be easy. We've never promised that the path of the work of the Spirit would be easy. Indeed, it will always be difficult. But you are given the strength and the power which makes possible all things. And we must always remember that that which we do together is much greater than ourselves. We are but the humble instruments of this power, and we shall endeavor at all times to serve and to do the will of the Most High. This, I know, is our task for the year and many years I trust that lie ahead. We cannot fail, for we have taken upon ourselves to do a great work for others, illumination of the mind and of the spirit, giving unto all those who seek a greater realization of the wisdom of the Most High. We are truly in service, bound together as brothers and sisters, and this I know we shall do together, for we have been called to service, and we cannot fail. My blessings be with you, my friends. Go forth in strength.
Thank you, Brother Barnabas. Could I ask you a question before you go?
Yes, my son.
Would you be able to give what I'm going to call a special talk for a meeting which is to be held in Bournemouth sometime ahead? It's in April. I was thinking that this would be a golden opportunity if you could
record
a talk for the speaking.
You want a special talk, a propaganda talk, I suppose you'd call it.
Yes, that's right.
That's right, Brother Boniface.
Yes, my son, I will do so.
And I believe that other meetings coming up as well.
I will draw upon others and we shall get together. Yes, bless you. Goodbye.
Thank you very, very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you very much.